As we approach the 4th of July, it's when we're reminded of the foundational document of America, which declared the God-given rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Of course, I'm referring to the Declaration of Independence. Today, that right to life continues to be endangered through the process we call abortion. A ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court this past week took down a Texas law regarding abortion chambers. And while looked at as a loss for the pro-life movement, some are actually saying the ruling could be a better guide for the fight to prevent abortions as we move forward. With us now to discuss this ruling and the aftermath is the Associate Director of Priests for Life, co-founder of their Silent No More Awareness campaign, Janet Moran. Thank you for being here, Janet.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be with you.
And I have a trio of websites. Of course, we have them linked over at our page, but priestsforlife.org, exposeabortion.com, and silentnomoreawareness.org. We're going to learn more and become more active in the cause of the pro-life movement. And just as a refresher, Janet, for the person listening, the Texas law basically had two elements to it. It was to ensure that any doctor in an abortion chamber had admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles, and that abortion chambers had to comply with the same regulations of any surgical center. What did the Supreme Court do when they saw that law?
Well, if you read, first of all, the oral arguments, they tended to really look at just access. The big concern that the pro-abort said was that, oh, this will deny women access to abortion. And they were saying, like, oh, they'll have to go hundreds of miles. Well, because the abortion industry was saying to the court, we're going to have to close our clinics to do these things. Well, you don't have to close your clinics. What you have to do is come up to the standard. What it shows is they don't want to invest the money in having good facilities for women and concerned about women's health. They're interested in their bottom line profit margin. And, you know, so that's why they fought it. And I was very, very disappointed in the Supreme Court because why shouldn't abortion clinics have to have the same standards as an ambulatory surgery unit? It should be the same. I mean, when you think about it, if a woman had to have a DNC, which is just a medical procedure, which is the same way they do a first trimester abortion, well, if she goes to her doctor and has a DNC in an outpatient from a hospital, there's going to be certain standards that are going to be given to her, certain good care. None of that happens in an abortion clinic. So why should a woman have to have this shabby conditions in the abortion clinics? I mean, the spirit of the Texas legislators of doing this law was really founded because of the Gosnell trial and the horror of the House of Horrors and the terrible conditions that were inside his abortion clinic. In fact, I was in the courtroom and I saw the disgusting equipment that a government confiscated and had as part of his trial. Old, antiquated equipment, blood-stained, horrible, dirty, filthy equipment was in the courtroom. Well, the Texas legislators said, we don't want any Gosnells in Texas. And that was the spirit by which they passed HB 2. And what the Supreme Court did was they pushed that all aside. And we at Priests for Life and the Silent No More Awareness campaign, we had an amicus brief where we had actual testimonies of women who had been damaged physically inside abortion clinics in Texas to show the justices, listen, this is a real problem. Look what happens when you have substandard care. I don't think they basically silenced the voices of the women who want to be silent no more because they ignored them. And they focused in on access instead of trying to make the abortion industry clean up their act. Very disappointing.
Of course, if you bring up the Gosnell chamber in Philadelphia, the response or the reaction or the defense of that, for lack of a better phrase, is, well, that's not because of a lack of a law. That was just because of a 15-year lack of inspections.
Right. Well, yeah, but the law would also help the inspections to happen, I'm sure, more frequently. And the law will also put us, raise the bar in the standard so that even without an inspection, you know, very regularly, you would have to at least have certain things. And then when the inspectors come and don't see it, then you have cause to shut the place down. So it would have been great. But the other more disappointing thing about, I feel, the Supreme Court decision is it's not just Texas. But there's also a pending legislation right currently on the books in Mississippi and Wisconsin. So the Supreme Court has set aside those cases and struck those down. And it means any state in the union can't even attempt to do any of these kind of regulations because of the Supreme Court ruling. And the other disappointing fact is that just like Roe v. Wade, the will of the people, the rights of an individual state to govern themselves and to pass laws has been taken away from them. Because when you think about Roe v. Wade, there are only 5 states where abortion was legal before Roe v. Wade. And the rest of the nation had it abortion illegal. Roe v. Wade took away the state's rights, and now it's the law, like as they call it, the law of the land. It's not really the law of the land. It wiped away the laws of the land and made the Supreme Court supreme in dictating to us. So once again, it's another long list of how the court is really going beyond their powers, and they're legislating from the bench, which is that's not their job, you know?
No, we're certainly prone to that, too, with our state Supreme Court here in New Jersey. We're talking with Jana Marana, Associate Director of Priests for Life, the co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, priestsforlife.org, exposeabortion.com, silentnomoreawareness.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And much, just like I alluded to in the introduction, and having read both the Whole Women's Health versus Hellerstedt, as well as going back to 1992, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the 1992 ruling held, again, with the Supreme Court, that a law created an undue burden when it had the purpose of or effect of placing what they call a substantial obstacle in the path of a woman choosing abortion. Did the ruling this past week better define that 1992 ruling, undue burden, especially in a substantial obstacle
right
in the path, so now that those in the pro-life movement can look at this past week's ruling and say, okay, now you've finally drawn the line in the sand, now we know which way to go with this?
Well, really what they did was they really expanded the undue burden. They went beyond the undue burden. And what they applied was a much higher standard, which was called strict scrutiny. And that was really crazy to do that. It was not necessary. It should just have been an undue burden, but they went beyond that. And the other thing, too, is Justice Kennedy really disappointed me in particular, because in Gonzalez versus Carhart, you know, he voted with us, with life, in that decision. And he cited the testimonies of the women in the decision, saying some women come to regret their abortion, so forth and so on. And it's almost like he totally forgot what he did in Carhart and Gonzalez, and pushed aside the damage that was submitted to the court of the women, and just went purely on this whole concept of access. And I found it very disheartening that he flipped on us. Because even if Scalia had been alive and been on the court, we still would have lost in a 5-4.
Right.
So it was the Kennedys' decision that really, you know, he flipped and basically abandoned us, abandoned life. Very, very disappointing. And that's why, you know, this election is so important, because the next president of the United States is going to appoint at least one Scalia's replacement, and then also possibly 2 or 3 more positions to the court. And if you want a Supreme Court that is not going to respect the Constitution, but actually make it like a living, breathing document that can be constantly changed, well, that can affect us for generations to come. And it's more than just abortion, although for me that's the primary issue, the foundational issue. But everything else we Christians hold dear. I mean, as we know, marriage has already been redefined. And, you know, you have a far-left court, and even putting up crosses on our property probably will one day be in jeopardy. So a lot's at stake at this election. We need to hold the Senate, to have a Republican, more conservative Senate that will, you know, that will approve, good justices that a president, hopefully, that would be, you know, like I said, more conservative, would appoint, and then we have a better chance into the future. But until we change the makeup of that court, we're going to keep getting more and more bad decisions like we did on Monday.
Wrapping up our time with Jana Marana, who's the Associate Director of Priests for Life. She's also co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, priestsforlife.org, exposeabortion.com, silentnomoreawareness.org, here on Issues and Ideas. Abortion's always masked as a women's health issue, quote-unquote, of course, ignoring the health of the baby altogether. But what is the goal, what is the content of exposeabortion.com that is going to lend more strength to the facts and the full picture versus the generic women's health labeling of the abortion process?
Well, at Expose Abortion, what we do is we post a daily quote from court documents or the abortionists themselves, and we show this is exposed to the American public. What this procedure is, what is this really about? Because you notice in all the rhetoric and all the discussion about abortion, the last thing that the pro-aborts want to do is really talk about the procedure and talk about what abortion really is. We know it destroys the life of the unborn child, but listen to how that happens. Listen to the doctors describe how they destroy the lives of these children, how they pull arms and legs apart, crush skulls, take out skull fragments. So expose abortion really is, if we're going to talk about it, let's really see what we're talking about instead of a lot of political rhetoric. So people can go to that website every day, and there'll be a new quote up there every day. And we want people to take those quotes and use them if you're writing a letter to the editor, if you're commenting on Facebook. We have to awaken the conscience of this nation to realize what abortion really is. And, of course, also in our Priest for Life website, we have the largest collection of pictures of the victims of abortion, these children who've been killed by abortion. And we have also images of the unborn child in the womb flourishing and growing. And you look at the comparison, and this really cuts, again, through the political rhetoric, because you get to see up close, you know, this is what abortion does to a child, and this is why we shouldn't have abortion. So sometimes when the pictures can also say, you know, say more than 1,000 words can, because it's the reality of what abortion really is.
With over 1 million abortions perpetrated each year, and just as a final note, too, the same Texas legislators who crafted the law that the Supreme Court gave a thumbs down to, they're now working on a law that's going to be based on subjecting the baby in the womb to pain. So if this goes through the courts, which more than likely it will, then this could perhaps be a retrial of Roe v. Wade using today's scientific knowledge and technology versus from over 40, 45 years ago, which was a whole completely different picture as far as what the life of the baby was and its potential then versus now. Learn more about this issue, priestforlife.org, exposeabortion.com, silentnomoreawareness.org. We've been joined by the Associate Director of Priests for Life, co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, Jenna Moran. Jenna, thanks for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me. God bless.